to you not exactly live from
the cliffs of insanity,
Indiana Jill.
You have chosen wisely.
Hey everybody, how's it going? Welcome to May 19th. This is the interview with Lou Tambone, and it's also the birthday of Peter Mayhew. So happy birthday to Chewy and the crazy guy that lives beneath the fur. I wanted to go ahead and bring you some news because this stuff is going to be old if I wait until the 25th, and there's going to be a lot of other stuff to share. And also I wanted to do a little preamble for the interview here. This was recorded with my cell phone on speaker, in the same way it was recorded with Chris Macht. Lou and I, however, did not have as good a connection as Chris and I had, so there are some places where the audio seems to cut out a little bit. If you don't focus so much on the precise words he's speaking, you can kind of grasp the context pretty well of the conversation. I don't think there's any areas in there that will be really confusing. But I didn't think it was bad enough to warrant redoing the interview. So I think you're going to enjoy it. He has some interesting things to say, and he's got a different perspective than Chris and Nathan Butler had. So I think you'll find it interesting if you love Star Wars. Let's see, what else is going on? Nathan Butler did have a show he was running over at StarWarsFanWorks.com called Fan Audio News Source, and it seems that show may be falling by the wayside, and it also looks like I may be picking that up in a different kind of format. So keep your eyes and ears peeled here for any developments in that area. It looks like something that's going to be fairly easy to do with minimal production, minimal recording on my part, but the only issue that will come out of this will be hosting. So likely going to go with Libsyn, of course, for that, but we'll see how things go. I think Nathan and I are going to iron out the details of that down at Con Carolinas. I also have some more audio in the works. I have scripted a short story I wrote, which was basically, it's basically a comedy, a farce, actually kind of a parody, if you will. Definitely going Monty Python on this. The humor is far more British than it is Mel Brooks Jewish, but Mel Brooks certainly an influence, Monty Python an influence. Be looking out for an all-star podcaster cast of characters for this thing. Looks like I'm going to have some amazing, amazing voices on here. I can go ahead and tell you some of the ones that have already agreed to appear. Leanne Mabry of Tag in the Seam. Christiana Ellis of Nina Kimberly the Merciless and Sci-Fi Smackdown. Sam Sloan of Slice of Sci-Fi is going to actually contribute something. And I think Christiana is going to get a co-writing credit if she comes up with something good for one of the characters I casted for her. Character I really didn't know what to do with. So I'm expecting great things from Christiana because she's just brilliant. Who else has agreed? Doug Rapson of Geek Acres. Jack Hosley of Wanda Radio. Oh, several. I've already recorded my daughter on some things. I'm trying to keep myself out of it as much as possible. Paul Herring, Paul from Des Moines on Slice of Sci-Fi and Winging It, is going to do something. And my lead, Jack Mangan, has also signed on for this project. He's going to be carrying roughly 105 lines, twice as many as the next person below him. Two other podcasters which I've pitched, I have yet to get confirmation that they're going to do it. One already knew that I was going to have Jack in there, so we're just waiting to hear back from him, but he's kind of busy the next couple weeks. And then another one I will be running into in Con Carolina, so if I don't hear from him now, I'm going to railroad him when I meet him down in Con Carolina. Let's see what else. I've auditioned for a role in an audio drama on StarWarsFanWorks.com. It looks like I'm going to get one of the major recurring roles in there. I'll let you know what that is and when that is. I've got an Indiana Jones fanfic novella that I have not finished writing. I kind of put that on hold maybe a year and a half, 2 years ago. But I'm probably going to be picking that back up very soon. I should be getting my new podcasting equipment down at Con Carolinas. We're going to forego the shipping and maybe try to do a change of hands with one of our mutual acquaintances. And so I will have a better mic and a mixer, and it'll be interesting trying to make all that stuff work and figure it all out. What else? Gosh, there's so many things I have in the works that, yeah, I don't know if I'm going to pull any of them off, but it's certainly worth a shot. And, you know, I'm 30 now, and not to sound too depressing, but this is kind of my last shot at anything. So, oh, I don't know why that makes me laugh, but it does. Anyway, I think that's it for the banter here. I'm going to go ahead and present some of these news stories here and get them out to you, and then we'll go with the interview with Lou Tambo.
Once upon a time, there was a beautiful princess, and her name was Nina. In a land far from the place of her birth, she finds herself pressured to marry the Langian king, a man whom she does not love. She longs for adventure, excitement, and true love, but she can only wait for a champion to arrive.
Whoa, 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 hold it right there. You can't tell the story like that. You're making me sound like some soppy, helpless fairy tale pansy. My father was frickin' Marcus the Merciless. She can only wait for a champion? Screw that! I am finding my own adventure. Maybe even a quest. Yeah, I like the sound of that.
Nina Kimberly the Merciless by Christiana Ellis is a free podcast audiobook available at www.ninakimberly.com and podiobooks.com.
Here comes the news. Let's get through this. Over at 4A.TV, I don't know what the deal is with that, but F-O-R-A.TV. There's a video called From Star Wars to the Battle of Ideas. This comes from the Institute of Ideas, London, UK. God, weird. Weird name for an institute. Here's the program description from these folks. It says, a panel discussion on From Star Wars to the Battle of Ideas. Science fiction often tells us more about social attitudes and anxieties than science itself, and can be a spur for debate about everything from genetics to consciousness, from war to climate change. Sci-fi can move people to engage in science, inspiring young people to become scientists, and encouraging the general public to debate the consequences of science for society. It can also frighten us, making us wary of new technology and its unintended consequences, like Scott Sigler taking over the world. Is this all to the good, or does sci-fi skew our understanding of science? Looks kind of interesting. Very good quality video. Lots of scientists that want to talk about scientific things. So view at your own yawning discretion. Let's see what else we have here. How about Star Wars paper models? you go to coolest-gadgets.com, you're going to find printable forms for paper versions of Star Wars characters and ships. This looks pretty interesting. You just basically print out the templates, you cut out the little parts of it, put them together, and make little paper versions of Boba Fett, clone troopers, Darth Vader, and also some of the vehicles. So I'll have a link in that link in the show notes for that. The Star Wars Fan Movie Challenge over at AdamFilms.com is ready for your votes. If you go to StarWars.AdamFilms.com, you're going to find the 19 finalists for the Star Wars Fan Movie Challenge. Among them, Bounty Hunter The Interview, which is hilarious. Just absolutely funny. Chad Vader Day Shift Manager, very cool. The Death of Jar Jar, interesting. And of course, the Barbershop Quartet that sings Nyub Nyub. Very entertaining. So some funny stuff, some serious stuff, some really whacked out, odd stuff. Including the return of Pink Five. And of course, Star Wars Revelations, I think, is up for long-form video, long-form fan film. So get over there and check those out. I've got a couple stories here that are not Star Wars related. For instance, this one right here from one of my favorite websites for keeping up with Lord of the Rings things. This is from theonering.net. From The Hollywood Reporter. A week after DreamWorks picked up Peter Jackson's Lovely Bones, Steven Spielberg and Jackson are teaming up again, this time to bring Spielberg's long-gestating pet project Tintin to the big screen. Sources said Monday that Jackson and Spielberg would each direct installments of the franchise, which is based on a series of Belgian comic books called The Adventures of Tintin by Herge. It is unclear whether other filmmakers would be involved, and no script has been written. The movies would be made using motion capture technology. In the comics, Tintin is a young Belgian reporter and world traveler who is aided in his adventures by his faithful dog, Snowy. He later was joined by such colorful characters as Captain Haddock, Professor Cuthbert Calculus, and bumbling detectives Thompson and Thompson. The books, hugely popular in Europe, have been translated into 50 languages with more than 200 million sold. And I don't care who you are, but anytime you get Spielberg and Peter Jackson together, rock the heck on, is what I say. And from CNN.com here, the health section. Let's see. Some iPods may make pacemakers malfunction. From Chicago, Illinois, iPods can cause cardiac implantable pacemakers to malfunction by interfering with the electromagnetic equipment monitoring the heart, according to a study presented by a 17-year-old high school student to a meeting of heart specialists on Thursday. This kid headed for Mensa. The study tested the effect of the portable music devices on 100 patients whose mean age was 77, outfitted with pacemakers. Electrical interference was detected half of the time when the iPod was held just 2 inches from the patient's chest for 5 to 10 seconds. The study did not examine any portable music devices other than iPods, which are made by Apple Inc. In some cases, the iPods caused interference when held 18 inches from the chest. Interfering with the telemetry equipment caused the device to misread the heart's pacing, and in one case caused the pacemaker to stop functioning altogether. So beware. If you have a pacemaker, stay clear of 17-year-old kids running a study for a high school project. And in completely unrelated news, from New York, Americans always seem to want more pro football, yet it's the folks abroad who might be getting an extra taste of the NFL in the future. Although talks are extremely preliminary, the NFL is investigating adding a 17th regular season game and playing it outside the United States. The extra game would take the place of one in the preseason, allowing every team to play once abroad without sacrificing a home game. This year, the Dolphins gave up a home date in Miami to play the New York Giants at Wembley Stadium in London. 2 years ago, the Arizona Cardinals played a home game in Mexico City against the San Francisco 49ers. And we beat them! We beat them in Mexico City! No, we didn't. We lost. But I really wish we could have beat them. So anyway, I think it's good. No more 8-8 seasons. If they go to 17, you have to have 8-9 or 9-8. So I think that can only be good for these stupid playoff teams that make it in at 500 records. Well, that's enough unrelated things. So now that the news is over, we are going to go straight into the interview with Lou Tambone, and I will see you guys back on May 25th, right at the 30th anniversary of Star Wars, the opening of Pirates of the Caribbean 3, and, oh wait, no, instead of the interview, we're going to do the interview, yes, and then some feedback. So, stay tuned, enjoy the interview with Lou Tambone, and I will be back with some feedback after the interview. All right, with me now is Lou Tambone, the webmaster at the website StarWarsWithAZ.com. Welcome to the show, Lou.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So when did you first encounter Star Wars, and what was it that made that indelible impression on you?
Well, I encountered it when it came out in 1977, in May. I was about 7 years old, and that was, you know, probably the perfect age for that, if you think about it. That's probably George Lucas's target. It was probably kids 7 to 10 or something like that. I don't know if that's true, but it's probably around that, between 7 and then when you're like a teenager, I guess that age. And so I was right in the right demographic for that film. The same as every kid. It was just this wondrous kind of adventure, and, you know, the kind of films that he saw when he was a kid that he loved. So it's just, I guess you'd call it one of those crazy circle of life kind of things.
So which character were you drawn to immediately?
Well, always Han Solo. I mean, right from the get-go, I just thought he was a badass. And even at 7 years old, I knew that guy was cool. Like, there was just no getting around it. Everybody I knew was into, you know, Will Ferrell stuff, from what I remember. I mean, of course, it's all hazy, but you don't remember everything from when you're 7 years old. But I know that everybody was kind of into Luke, and then Darth Vader was just huge, you know, like, just, yeah, everybody had Darth Vader t-shirts and Darth Vader everything. You know, and of course I had it too, but I always had a thing, you know, like with the badass, with Han Solo. I felt like that was somebody who was cool. That was somebody, you know,
right,
you could pretend to be, you know, when you're playing Star Wars out in the backyard. That was who I wanted to be. I didn't really care about Luke all that much. I wanted to be Han Solo, the guy with the cool gun and the furry companion and the cool spaceship.
So what was the, what's the greatest impact that Star Wars has had on your life besides making you, mostly famous?
Mostly, it hasn't gotten me any kind of fame or anything like that, please. You know, we're all just, all the web people are all just kind of piggybacking off of this whole thing. You know, we're not, you know, I was never looking to be anything like that. The website took off and it was great. You know, I that's really all it was. It was a neat little bookmark and footnote in my life, and I'm proud of it. It's been over 10 years now that it's been up, and you know, it's really amazing. It still gets traffic. It's still doing well. I think it's great. I'm real proud of it. But we're all just piggybacking off it. Or even, you know, the bigger sites, whatever. It's just all a fan. It's a fan thing, enthusiasm.
Yeah.
But, going back to your question, I guess biggest impact. This is going to sound corny, I guess, but the fact that I never forgot it. I mean, there's so many movies that you see and just forget about, and this movie is followed, like, since I was 7 years old, it's been ingrained in my head and has never left. You know, like they say, there's short-term memory and long-term memory. I mean, this was just injected right into my long-term memory. Like, it just never stopped.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, more movies piled on, and it just kept going.
Right.
So, you know, I don't know what else to say. I mean, it's always such a big thing for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and of course there are other things as well, but that was the one thing that never left me. Even in those, like, quote unquote dark years where Star Wars kind of disappeared for a while. I mean, I always, you know, and of course moved into other things too, but I always it would walk around, you know, quoting lines from the movies and stuff. You know, it's fun.
Yeah. Now, I probably consider you one of the founders of the current fan community, considering the impact of the internet. I think you're probably one of the guys that jumped out ahead of everybody else. First thing I want to say is thank you for everything that you've done and continue to do for Star Wars fans and keeping that flame alive.
Wow, that's great. That's a big compliment right there. Thank you very much. I was probably not one of the first, but I remember going online and seeing a few other folks and saying, I want to do that too, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, the fact that it stuck around, I guess.
Right.
Maybe would make make you say that, but yeah, no, you're very welcome. It's my pleasure to do this. I you know, and again, it's all piggybacking and having fun and sharing enthusiasm and a lot of research and work, you know,
right.
Blood, sweat, and tears goes into it, especially all the deleted scene stuff. I mean, that was a lot. That's 10 years of work right there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still alive. In fact, I put a little blurb today, just updated one of the pages, you know, like I'm just constantly adding to this mess.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks. That's you know, it makes you feel good when people say stuff like that. And believe it or not, not too many people do that.
Right.
It's kind of like, hey, look at this, it's nice, and then they go somewhere else.
Right. So you're also the kind of the host, I guess, of the GalacticSenate.com, the big Star Wars message board out there. It's probably the big one other than the other big one, the website that must not be named.
You can say it.
So what do you think are some of the positive and negative aspects of this fan community?
Nowadays, it's all calmed down, but I think I liked watching the progression of it. Like in the pre-prequel time, you know, and like when the special editions were kind of in progress and coming out,
mm-hmm.
there was a lot of unity. You know, there was a lot of you know, people just kind of talking about Star Wars and stuff. Then the special editions came out, and you saw a couple people kind of start to get a little disillusioned with the whole Greedo thing. Sort of like, I don't know, this is making me nervous for the prequels and blah blah blah. You know, but it wasn't too bad. And then all of a sudden, you know, here comes Episode One, and then the whole thing spooked down the middle, like just immediately. Like the day after that film was out, there was just people on one side and there were people on the other. There was no one in the middle. I felt I was more positive about it. I have the prequels, I don't have any problems with them, but I wanted to be in more in the middle. But I ended up being on the positive because I guess I like the films. I mean, I guess I'm older and have kids, and back then I only had really had my son was not even born yet. He was just being born in '99, but. You know, I was kind of in that mindset, that kid mindset, and I guess I didn't mind some of the infantile stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was thinking of the film in terms of how a kid would watch. I did think it was a little fast-paced. I remember the first night watching it, Episode One was zooming past me. Like, you know, and I knew everything about that. You know, like, I knew everything that was going to happen. I knew every character, and I was watching it, and it's still moving out 100 miles an hour. I was like, wow. So, you know, what people didn't react well to it, or they loved it. You know, it was like one or the other, and it split down there. So it was fun watching that, and then watching it go into Episode Two. Everybody kind of started that whole this should have been Episode One. You know,
yeah.
That whole thing. And then it moved into Episode Three, and then watching it kind of fade out. And now it feels—it's kind of fun. It feels like 1996 again. It's like everything kind of will circle. There's still people who don't like the prequels and they like the prequels or whatever. But Episode Three kind of revived everybody a little bit. Like that was the one they were waiting for.
Yeah.
And including me, actually, I was really—I mean, I was always saying it from before Episode One was even out. I said, "I can't wait till Episode Three." You know.
Yeah.
That's it. So, you know, watching that whole community kind of together, split, then come back together, and then there's still factions out there on either side, you know, kind of just watching that from the sidelines was kind of neat.
Right. Kind of my question du jour right now is, what did the prequels do wrong, and what did they do right?
Well, it's not so much what the prequels did. I think it's what did. Right and wrong, you know what I mean. And we have to. The buck has to stop somewhere, and he's the guy who made the films, you know. So I wouldn't want to say that the prequels did something wrong. It wasn't necessarily that. I don't think we know what's in Lucas's head, and we can't really get into it. I know that he had feelings about what would work and what wouldn't work, and what he wanted to show on the screen. We were wanting, and we were expecting, was something different. So there was just no way that those two worlds were going to align and everybody was going to be happy, especially with that hype of Episode One. I mean, it's just ridiculous. There's
mm-hmm.
nothing, there's no film in the world that could have made people happy. I mean, you know, you're going to find fault in every movie. You know, I love movies. I love movies like Blade Runner and, you know, other films, tons of movies, and I'll find fault in them. You know, my favorite films, I'm going to find fault. But this, everything was so magnified on Episode One. I mean, there's just no way. So I don't want to. I don't know if I can say what it did wrong. I'm one of those people that's in the camp that Mm-hmm. And they could have stretched episode three out against two films. You know, like, I feel that would have been cool, but Lucas felt you had to go back to the beginning and show this guy as a little kid.
Yeah.
And show the innocent boy, and show him taken from his mother, and show him all these other things. So, you know, I understand what he did, so I can't say wrong or right. And it's not my film to judge, to right. say this is wrong and this is right, and he should have did this and he should have did that. I mean, those are maybe some of my opinions, but I'm not going to, I will never ever, as long as I live, say George Lucas was wrong. How can I say he was wrong? You know, it's
yeah.
completely insane to say that. So that's my feeling on it. I really don't have a problem with a lot of the prequels. I don't like some of the rewriting of history he tends to do, but mm-hmm. other than that, I really don't have a
Well, you talk about the rewriting of history, and first, also, I think you've been very impartial in your coverage. I mean, the news stories you've had posted on your site have been very, very balanced. So I think you've done a great job there.
Well, thanks. No, I'm trying to show people that there are different sides to it as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't take sides in this stuff. You know, if somebody presents me with information that I deem is good enough to put on the site and that I feel comes from a very valid source, you know, I'm going to put it up there. I mean, people have put up crazier stuff. You know?
yeah.
A lot of it, if it's opinion, I'll label it as so. You know, I'll say this is speculation, this is opinion.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And if it's fact, I'll say it's fact. You know?
Right. So one of the stories...
We're just fans, you know?
Exactly.
We don't, you know, we can't speak for Lucas or Lucasfilm or Marshall Lucas or whoever, you know?
Yeah. You're not Leonard Maltin, certainly.
right. I've never spoken to these people, so this is all... I mean, no one can really take it as gospel.
Yeah. Now, one of the stories you recently posted, you linked to a free ebook called The Secret History of Star Wars. And I haven't been able to read the whole thing, because this thing is huge. I mean, there's so much
yeah.
detail, so much sourcing
yeah.
in this. You can come away from it with several different opinions about George Lucas, and you mentioned rewriting of history. Do you look at him in a different light now, having read the book, than before reading it?
No, because I'm not a drone. I'm not a sheep. You know, I can tell when I'm being fooled. And for years, he's been bouncing back and forth with these stories about 6 episodes, 12 episodes, 9 episodes. I mean, the truth of the matter is probably, you know, the answer lies in the middle somewhere. You know, like this book by Michael Kaminsky, which is really, really good. This ebook, this fan created book, it's really, really good, and it does make you kind of think about stuff. But you know, even if you read that book, you can go back to Lucas's stuff and say, well, maybe he, you know, was taken out of context. You know, there's always this gray area that you're playing with. But some of the stuff in his book is completely irrefutable. I mean, he's quoting Lucas in all these things, and then quoting him later saying the exact opposite. And you know, there's one thing about being—you can be misquoted, but you know, a full paragraph. You know, I don't know. You know, like I'm sure back then they used to tape a lot of interviews. I mean, and you never saw Lucas run around talking about how he was misquoted all the time. I mean, he says that it was the media's fault and all this, but he tends to just blame the media a lot for stuff. I don't buy it. You know, I think there's a new making of Star Wars book coming out this month. I think in there is going to be a lot of answers to a lot of questions. And it's funny that you mentioned this, because I just put up a story yesterday where someone who got an advanced copy of the book, and inside of it is mentioned from the 1970s notes, midichlorians.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I'm blown away by that. So my first thought is, especially after reading Michael's book, did he say something to Rindler about, you know, how he had midichlorians in the original notes? Is he still rewriting stuff? Or was that really a word he had way back when? And why is it pop? Like, how did that happen? We've seen a lot of the original drafts and a lot of the old terms that floated around, like Kyber crystal and all these things. And how did midichlorians escape everybody?
Mm-hmm.
Even when episode one came in, why were there no interviews when he went on TV and said, "Oh shit, this midichlorian," and they were attacking. We were all midichlorians, like that whole thing. There was a big debate on it when the movie came out. People attacked it like, you know, oh, now he and blah, blah, blah. Why didn't he ever say, oh, no, this is a concept I had back in, you know? Yeah. It would have been such an easy defense, right? It makes you think now. You're like, well, did they do this just for the book? Or was it really part of the old notes? And, I'm hoping that maybe in there's some scans of the old notebook, and maybe we'll see it.
Yeah.
You know, and if we can see it, that's irrefutable evidence that, you know, Lucas was not the evil manipulator that, you know, we all thought he was.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows?
Well,
I don't have any hatred toward him. How could you hate the guy?
Yeah.
Even if he did lie a few times, who cares, you know?
Well, I think he really is... I still think he's a smart guy. You know, he's not a dumb guy. And after his the problems with American Graffiti and THX-1138 being cut, without his consent, basically, really made him pull back. And I think, really, he's been the master of the old misdirection ploy, you know. Certainly when you look at some of the older drafts, you see, like, the planet Utapau. Never heard of the planet Utapau until back in Episode 3, and this is something he's pulling out of old notes, so certainly I think there's a possibility.
Right. We're in the old drafts, and people, all the fans, when I saw that planet name for Episode 3, I was all psyched. I was like, oh, great, that's cool, that's from the old drafts, but this midichlorian thing seems to come out of the blue.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that C-3PO was built by a little boy and all that kind of thing was apparently from the 1970s notes. That stuff never really came up.
Right.
You know, there were rumors about him being built on some other planet and blah, blah, blah. The thing that he was built by a little boy, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
That, I don't ever remember hearing that. So I pre-ordered the hardcover of the book because apparently it has more stuff in it, rumors and things and notes. So I want to really, I have a feeling for that book and scanning pages and learning all kinds of new stuff, which I really love. I mean, that's the thing with me now is that, you know, I gobble up, you know, old call sheets and script tape, things like that.
Yeah.
I love storyboards, try to collect all that stuff. So this book is going to be loaded. When I find out, when you find out something, let me back up. I guess when you think you know a lot about, like, Star Wars and all these things, and then you find these little nuggets of things you never knew, it's like, you feel like a kid again. You're like, wow! This is great. I mean, that's what I love about it. That's what gets me excited about this kind of stuff now. Now that all the films are out and all that junk, like, the big thrill of it for me and for, you know, for running the site and all that is to find out stuff that I never knew.
Mm-hmm.
And this book, I think, is going to be loaded with stuff. But then you have to ask that question, like, this midichlorian thing.
Right.
Well, was it real? Did he, Lucas... When he does these interviews, he just tends to spit out whatever works at the time, I guess, apparently,
yeah.
You know, according to Kaminsky, so I don't know, you know, he'd sit down with Rinsler and have an interview, and he said, I thought of midichlorians back in the day,
yeah.
And he wants to put that in the book, because he's, you know, got to take him at his word.
Right. Well,
and is history rewritten, or was it real?
Right. Yeah, I think specifically related to the midichlorian issue, I think it's perfectly permissible or believable when, you know, Obi-Wan says it's an energy field created by all living things. Well, there's got to be a building block for living things, and why not? You know, it sounds like part of a cell. You know, what the heck?
Yeah. Well, I never ever had I just want to put this on the line. I never had a problem with midichlorian things. People misunderstood. They thought that midichlorians were the Force.
Right.
These were the Force. No. They're just some mechanism for contacting, you know, like for
mm-hmm.
dealing with the Force, like a connection to the Force. It's not the Force. The Force is still the Force. These midichlorians are just microscopic things inside you that help you
mm-hmm.
kind of use the Force. You know what I mean? It's not, I think people, he didn't relay it.
Yeah.
I guess maybe he just didn't dumb it down enough for people. I'm not sure. I don't know why it didn't work, but people didn't like it.
Yeah.
And I think they just misunderstood it. I got it, but I don't think many people got it.
Right. Maybe they're just useful opposites for the Asalamari, which come in the expanded universe.
I don't think Lucas thinks about that stuff, really.
Really?
I mean, I think, you know, if anything that he references from that EU, I mean, and again, I don't know the guy, I can't speak for him, but I think it's just stuff that kind of happens to fall in front of his desk, and he goes, oh, look at that, that's pretty neat, let's put this character in the movie, you know, like that sort of thing. I don't read.
Let me write this down. Put it in the old holocron here.
Yeah, I mean, if that catches his eye, like a sketch or a comic, and says, "Hey, you know what? I kind of like that. Let's incorporate that into this person's story. Let's put it in."
Yeah.
I don't think he sits there and just reads like all these Star Wars books all night. You know?
Yeah, certainly.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure he approves the storylines, but other than that, I don't know.
Yeah. I'm not caught up on the EU. I think the last thing I read was Spectre of the Past by Timothy Zahn, and I haven't gone into the newer stuff, and I plan to. Have the EU novels gotten better? Has that storyline improved, or is it waning?
Well, I'm like you. I kind of gave up on it.
Did
I
you?
Don't follow it at all. When the books started to come out, you know, and that was in like 91-ish, around there, I got them immediately. You know, and I liked those first three. You know, I thought they were great. And then I got the next couple and thought they were okay. And then I kept going, and they kept getting worse and worse and worse. And I always tell this little story because it's so funny and it's true. I was reading this book called The Crystal Star, and I think it was the worst. No offense, I'm sorry to the author, but it was the worst, just overall, even book I read. You know, like
yeah.
I was like, this is just awful. And I kept waiting. I was reading it. Towards the halfway through, I was reading it so fast because I just wanted to finish it. And when I was done with it, I closed it and I threw it against the wall. And I left it there for like a week. I didn't even go touch it. Like that book was. I was so mad when I read that book. And I think I tried one or two more. There was another one that was really bad. I forgot what it was called.
Children of Twilight.
Children of the Jedi. And then there was one, The New Rebellion. I was like, that's it, I'm done. And I stopped buying it.
Right.
Hardcover books for like 20-something piece. I was like, all right, forget it.
Yeah.
I don't have the money for this. You know, it was like a real bad. The Christmas money was just a really bad style novel, and they just kind of dropped in Star Wars names. Like, it just, it made me ill. Like, I couldn't take it anymore.
Yeah, I don't think that was Vonda and McIntyre's greatest venture. Into fiction. That's probably one of the weakest EU novels, I think. And Children of the Jedi was kind of eh. And Planet of the Twilight, I did like Barbara Hambly's book there. But yeah, I think, certainly I agree that book probably turned off a lot of people.
It was awful. I couldn't tell you that. I mean, I read a few after that, but they were mostly, like, I'd have a method to my madness. Like, one of them was, like, Alan Dean Foster's tie-in. I guess it was episode 2, I think. You know, things like that. Things that I knew would, like, Prince of Evil, which was the lead in episode 3, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, those kind of books. Like, those I would read. Like, I'd go grab it and read it because I knew it had some kind of connection to what was going to be in the movies.
Mm-hmm.
So, stuff like that I'll read. But other than that, I really just don't waste my time with that stuff anymore. It just ends up disappointing me. And I can't. There's a whole universe there now that's bigger than the films, and I can't. I don't even want to get started in it. I don't want to, because, you know, then it's a whole other world.
This is your time.
But it's almost like a different world in a way. It's almost like a lot of the, like, I hate to say this, but I can give a rat's ass about those solo kids. Like, I really, after a few of those books, I mean, they were just getting kidnapped every book or something. You know, one of them was in a hub, and this one's a dark side, and this one died. I'm like, you know, I really can't stand this anymore.
Yeah.
You know, I read one where they killed Chewbacca. I was like, well, that was kind of okay, you know, but
yeah.
I don't know. Then there was the whole like thing with, you know, he blamed the kid and all. It was getting too melodramatic, like soap opera. Like,
yeah.
I lost it. You know, I like those old ones. I like the Han Solo books and the Lando books. Brian Daley. And I actually did like the Dan Crispin solo books. Those were pretty good.
Yeah. Let's talk about the TV shows that are, well, we think now it's going to be two TV shows or two animated series and one live action. What's going on with those? Anything lately?
I've got no news on it. The way I've always done it with my site is like, you know, episode 1 came around. I luckily got some good, you know, insider news and stuff posted. And that kind of prompted people for episode 2 to send me some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But episode 3, I really didn't think it was going to happen. And then some stuff came in, you know, like, hey, great. So I'm hoping something inside or close to the inside get some info and start to send it in. I mean, I can have a regular source. But other than that, I really honestly have no nothing on these TV shows. I don't know any more than you do. I don't know any more than any other fan does, whatever they feed us on the site. That's it. I heard two shows, one animated, one live action, and we've seen some of the images, I think, or we've seen that one Yoda 3D, and it looked pretty nice. Yeah, the Clone Wars were nice little footnotes, too. I watched them once and kind of went, man, that was nice.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know what it is. I just can't get into the idea of these TV shows for some reason. I'm sure the cartoon will do well, but a lot of people are into this, like, the new Battlestar Galactica, and I watched one, and I thought it was really crappy, and it didn't really... I'm not into that whole, like, angst-ridden thing, and, like, I keep calling it Buffy in space. Like, I'm just... really, if it ends up being... If this new Star Wars show ends up being Buffy in space, I'm going to be really pissed off.
Yeah, but
what...
What if they have an intro going Buffy in space? That'd be better.
Exactly. I'm thinking, is it going to be campy, or is he going to try to do like Battlestar Galactica is doing? Like, or is he going to do something original?
Right.
He's got all these different writers. I have no idea what to expect. Mm-hmm. So I may be happy with it, or I may be really ticked off and not like it. So I don't know. I guess we're all in the same boat there.
Right.
I mean, it can't be bad, right? I mean, sure, it won't be really bad. I don't even want to say anymore. I really have no idea.
One of the things that I anticipate being an issue may be the choice of music, because John Williams was so integral in making that music work and making it work like, you know, like an operatic, symphonic kind of deal. You know, I just don't know.
Well, I think that they'll probably work something with him where they can use the main theme and some other stuff. But to do TV shows, you don't need any. You don't need crazy music. Look at something like a show that I really love, like 24. Sean Callery does the music for that.
Yes.
And, it's so subtle sometimes you don't even know it's there.
Did you see the latest episode?
I'm sorry, the last 24 episode?
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, I love that show. I mean, I've never missed one. I got into it a little bit late, but I watched the DVDs, like, all in a row, kind of like in a marathon. I picked it up around season 5 is when I finally caught up. And I've been watching it, like, crazy ever since. I went through the DVDs in, like, no time at all. I watched season 1, I think it took me, like a week or something like that. I just sit there every night and watch, like, you know, 2 or 3 of these things. Like, you can't just watch one. It's such a good show. It's well done. So if he can pull off that kind of show, you know, with some subtle music in the background, nothing crazy, I think he'll do okay. But it's got to be that sort of a original sort of... I'm sure it'll be fast-paced.
Yeah, I just can't help, and I'm sure a lot of other people can't help. We either look at Young Indiana Jones Chronicles and think, that went okay. Or we look at the Star Wars Holiday Special. That didn't go so okay.
Well, that I don't think Lucas had much to do with that.
Yeah.
Outside of, like, the basic overall story. In fact, the big rumor is, he can't stand the thing. And if he... I think there was some quote. He said if he had a hammer, he'd smash every copy or so. that was kind of out of his hands. That was an anomaly. I think that was everybody riding high on the Star Wars thing, and that's why Harrison Ford and all those guys got back in the character to do it. I think it was just kind of a one-off that everybody wants to forget. I don't know. After seeing it a million times, you tend to not hate it as much. But the Young Indy thing, I've seen it. I never watched it when it was out, but I saw a few episodes later down the road. I thought they were okay. I kept thinking, like, they're really pushing it here. I mean, these guys, like, these characters, like Indiana Jones, it always, it's like the movies you can kind of handle because they have these great big adventures and you think, wow, that's great. But then you see the show where they detail their lives and, like, how could this guy have an adventure every day of his life? who is this guy? I mean, he meets all these crazy people in history. I mean, I don't know. I just, you tend to kind of not believe it after a while. It's like, okay, fine. Now, a movie, you could say, there's years in between where he just sat around and ate bonbons, but you go into this great big adventure. And, you know, that's okay. But then when they start, you know, every day he wakes up and then he's meeting Dracula and then he's meeting, you know, some jazz guy and then he, you know, it's like, all right. Yeah, I just wasn't into it.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm hoping that this TV show kind of goes off in another direction. They kind of really, people would hate me for saying this, but I hope they steer clear of, like, pretty much all the movies.
Right. Yeah, because a lot of times when you try to tie it in, it gets clumsy.
Yeah.
Are you looking forward to Indiana Jones 4 like I am?
Yeah, oh, completely. I love those films. I mean, those were, you know, another set of films that I really, really was into when I was younger.
Uh-huh.
I think Shia LaBeouf is awesome. I really think that's perfect casting. We watched just about every episode of Even Stevens, and just knowing how his character was on that show and how he was very Indiana Jones like.
Yeah.
Look at his acting, like he was kind of like, he reminded me of, you know, the opening, like you could take him now and drop him into the opening of Last Crusade.
Uh-huh.
And he would play that role perfectly. He's like a young indie, you know. I think it's great. That the rumor is he's going to be his son, of course. So I think he's perfect. I really now that I saw him, I can see him in my head in the role of his son, and it's perfect. Like, I just think it's great.
Yeah.
If they can get Sean Connery in there, and then they can have, like, the three generations of Indy, that's just...
Well, I don't think they'll have any problem getting Sean Connery. I think he's a good enough sport that he'll come back for that.
Yeah, I think he will. But I just think it'd be... I mean, you know, they're always trying to up themselves with these movies. So, you know, they had Indy, and they had, you know, Indy with the short round, you know. Then they had... Yeah, Indy with the dad. So now what are they going to do? They're going to have Indy, the dad, and the kid, you know?
Yeah.
That would be, you know, it's logically, you know, it plays out right if you think about it that way.
Right. And possibly all his old ex-girlfriends.
Well, except for what's her face? She died.
Yeah.
After she died, she fell down the pit there. Well, she was bad news anyway.
Hey, I don't know.
We didn't want to see her again.
Okay, so how does Lou Tambone stay in touch with the rest of the Star Wars fan community? Are there any particular websites you frequent or podcasts you listen to? Or?
No, you know, it's funny. I really don't visit a lot of... I don't even visit StarWars.com anymore. I let my hyperspace expire. But just kind of like just letting everything go. I don't really visit a lot of the other sites. I have... I use, like, my Yahoo page, and I put all the RSS feeds in there. That's pretty much where I get all my news and info from. But, you know, I'm not the kind of guy who feels like you got to post news every day, every hour.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for me, it has to be stuff... That's why I'm saying we go full circle back to, like, 96. Because, for me, it's like, it's got to be stuff that I'm interested in and I feel is cool. Then I'll put it up. Because otherwise, I'm just repeating all the same news that everybody else is repeating.
Mm-hmm.
I've always wanted to have news or stuff on the site that was not the usual. And I think that's what made the site a little bit popular in the beginning, at least, is that, you know, yeah, you can go over to the Force of Net or Genet or whatever, and there's the same five headlines that are all over everywhere else. But then you go to my site, and you'll see something about a deleted scene or something about something different that's not there. Something somebody found in some obscure paper in Germany or whatever, you know, whatever. Just something different. So, that's... I find something cool, like that story I put up yesterday about the midichlorians and the making a Star Wars book. I don't think anybody posted that yet. Okay, cool. I'll spot that.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, 30th anniversary is coming up. Anything big down the pike that you've heard about, or anything good that you're waiting for?
No, not really. Everybody wants that DVD box, but they've been saying it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
I got a couple rumors on the site that are saying otherwise, but again, it's getting kind of late in the game here, so I don't know if they're going to just wait until the holiday season and spring something on a surprise, or if they're just not going to do it, like they say. With Lucasfilm now, and with Lucas even, you can't tell anymore. They say something, and you don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, there was all the talk about, we'll never, ever put the originals out, and then they put the originals out. Yeah. It's just, you can't take anything they say anymore. That's part of the reason I don't even go back to StarWars.com anymore. Just every day is like four articles on some collectible, and then one article about some rock band you don't care about, and, you know, talking about how they love Darth Vader, and then, like, there's some other Bantha tracks or something, you know? Like, there's nothing on there. The photoreceptor, you know, I was kind of like, and then I let my hyperspace go now, so I'm just like, ah, screw it. You know, rare pictures will find their way to me somehow.
Yeah, well, you certainly got your sources, and I know there's lots of people willing to send you stuff, and you continue to post certainly things that are far more interesting than a lot of other places. So, again, the website is StarWarsWithAZ.com. Any last thoughts being the 30th anniversary and all that?
No, I mean, I'm pretty excited for it, but, you know, I've got my own anniversary, actually, in the same week. May 25th is my 10-year wedding anniversary, so... I'll be celebrating that instead of, you know, the Star Wars thing. Because God forbid I mention Star Wars on that day. I'll be divorced on my 10th anniversary.
Well, congratulations, though. That's really cool.
Thank you.
Thank you for taking the time to do this. I think it's probably I don't know if you've ever done any other interviews, but I certainly appreciate you doing this on my show.
Yeah, no, I've done a few, but this was a fun one. I enjoyed it. I appreciate you thinking of me to have me on the show. You know, it's a great honor. So, thanks.
No problem. All right, that is Lou Tambone, and you can find him again, StarWarsWithAZ.com. Thanks a lot, Lou.
Thank you.
Hey, Indiana Jim, this is the Wonder Wolf from Wonder Radio.
Hey, Jack.
I'd like to congratulate you on the Star Wars extravaganza. I've
thoroughly
enjoyed the two interviews that you had so far, and the essays that you did on the last Things You're Looking Up.
Cool.
I came into the Things You're Looking Up a little late.
Shame.
So not as yet untitled podcast or something
right.
like that.
Mm-hmm.
I could never get it straight. Anyway, great job.
Thank you.
I like the perspective thing that you did with the prequels
yes.
and the middle four yes. or the original three or the original three episodes. I thought the coat rack analogy was perfect.
Cool.
It's definitely put things in a new perspective for me, and I appreciate that. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Again, great job. Keep it up.
Thank you.
We'll talk to you on the other side.
Well, thank you, Jack.
You're welcome.
Not you. We named the monkey Jack.
Ladies and gentlemen, Jack Hosley, one of my good friends, good podcaster friends, and listener to the program. Thanks a lot, Jack.
Hey, Jim, it's Dickie once again. And
Dickie!
I just thought I would clarify something for you.
Yes, sir.
A hoser. Is a Canadian term popularized by the McKenzie brothers, referring to someone clumsy or stupid who drinks beer excessively.
Mm.
Basically, can also be like kind of it's what you call your little brother when your mom's in the room.
Wouldn't that be
you know what I mean? So they take out your hosers and your mom's standing behind you. You can't swear at them because you know your mom will beat you or something like that. Whatever. And secondly, you really shouldn't have put all this Star Wars stuff together just for me.
Oh.
I thought it was just for the 30th anniversary of one of the greatest.
Yes.
Movie series ever committed to film,
yes.
but I'll totally take the credit for inspiring all of this
awesome.
Star Wars and audio gold you're pumping. I don't know, maybe I should send you a thank you card or something.
Yes.
Maybe a box of meat.
Box of right, meat.
Take care.
Box of meat. You Canadians, you're so interesting. Actually, I could use a case of maple syrup. You know, so if you want to send that on, I can give you my address or money. I'll take money. Not Canadian money, though, because those Canadian nickel things, those don't work in our vending machines. I don't know if you know that, but they just don't work. And the exchange rate is insane, too. So, anyway, thank you for clarifying the term hoser. I now know to apply that term to everybody on Michael and Evo's Winging It. Thank you very much. Well, thus ends the feedback segment and this episode of the Star Wars Extravaganza. I called it the Tambone, not, you know, I didn't number it number two, episode two, because episode two will be next week. Yes, and then, of course, the circle will be complete with episode three. And I just wanted to make sure the file was designated Tambone, so everybody knew that this was the episode with Lou Tambone. Let's call this the holiday special for Peter Mayhew's birthday. I am going down to Con Carolinas. Obviously, you know this because you've heard this, but I'm saying it again. For any new listeners or what have you, down in Charlotte, North Carolina, I'll be driving down through Louisville and Lexington, Kentucky, and then down into Charlotte, North Carolina. Should be a wonderful time had by all. Please excuse my southern accent. I just can't help it. Sometimes it just comes out. And now I'm starting to sound like George Bush. And maybe, yeah, I'm the decider, and I decided to go down into North Carolina. Yeah. Anyway, I'm stupid. So, no news there. And this is this has been a lot of fun. I don't really have much more to say other than www.indianajim.net. The new website is up and running. Not really all that, not too much more impressive than what it was before. Just a little more artistic. Not autistic, artistic. The blog site, if you haven't been to podcast.indianajim.net, you have missed the new logo that is up. You can Skype me, Indiana_Jim_. You can email me, indianajim.podcast@gmail.com. Please, please, please send in more feedback. I had two this week. I had two. I'm so thrilled with two. But I could really use more, you know. I know you're out there. We all use the internet because you're listening to a podcast. So send an email, please. You know, and here's the other thing. You know, if I decide to take the podcast to the next level, as in get advertisers, I have no idea what my listeners are into. I don't. I know Doug Rapson and Dickie and T. Morris and Phil Rossi. Hi, Phil. And other podcasters. I know what they're into. They're into podcasting. Yeah. So I need you guys that are listening that are not podcasters to just send a quick note. Let me know you're out there, please. Just indianajim.podcast@gmail.com. Send in a voicemail, 206-666-INDY. That's 206-666-4639. Thank you very much. My two-year-old daughter is fiddling with the studio door, calling my name. What, do you want to be on the podcast?
Yeah.
Yeah? What's your name?
Madigan.
Madigan?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
This is what I'm playing.
Yeah?
With Kitty.
Mm-hmm, playing with Kitty.
Yeah.
She being good?
Yeah.
Can you say thank you? Say thank you.
No.
No? Don't you want people to listen? What are you doing, getting candy?
Yeah.
Yeah. Fruit snacks.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, as I open these fruit snacks, I will bid you farewell. Everybody have a wonderful time. I'll see you back here on May 25th, the 30th anniversary of Star Wars 1977.
Star Wars?
Yeah, Star Wars. All right.
Star Wars?
Yeah, do you like Star Wars?
Yeah.
Yeah? Cool.
If you are enjoying the Star Wars fan audio production you're listening to right now, then don't stop there. Come see what the excitement is about at the internet's home of the Star Wars fan audio genre, StarWarsFanWorks.com. There you'll find podcasts, audio dramas, audio parodies, and more, plus the best and most comprehensive news coverage of the Star Wars fan audio genre found anywhere. It's an entire field of Star Wars audio productions made for fans, by fans, and your audio gateway to that galaxy far, far away is StarWarsFanWorks.com. Join us. After all, it is your destiny. StarWarsFanWorks.com. Fandom has a whole new sound.